episode 30.
It's time to breathe new life into the social entrepreneur by empowering you to make a living through fulfilling work that will impact lives. You'll make money, but more importantly, you'll make a difference. Welcome to the Change Creator Podcast. It's time to build a business with purpose. Now here's your host, Adam Force.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is your host, Adam Force. Thank you so much for joining the Change Creator Podcast show today. We are going to be talking with Alex Jeffries. Alex is a marketing guy, and he's the kind of guy that has priceless wisdom when it comes to growing your business and getting traction. He's helped just countless entrepreneurs succeed, in internet marketing. So when he was 24, he actually started his first business selling motorcycles on eBay. And then he built an education company teaching others how to market on eBay. Then he became a published author. Alex started his first coaching business in 2008, and now his company, Marketing With You, is a multi-million dollar coaching business. And actually in 2016, it was ranked the 903rd fastest growing company in all of North America. So we're going to tap into his experience in just a moment and get those marketing insights. Don't forget to stop by changecreatormag.com. Check out the latest edition of our magazine with Dr. Alistair Harris. Lots of exciting stuff coming out in 2017. This month, we'll be launching our edition with Ariana Huffington. As you know, she moved on to start the business Thrive Global, so lots of interesting insights coming from Ariana. And please do leave us a 5-star review. We really do appreciate it, and it helps keep things plugging along. Okay, without further ado, let's jump into the combo. Hey, Alex, thanks so much for joining the Change Creator Podcast show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing amazing, my friend. Thank you so much for having me here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I always appreciate you people taking the time to chat with us and share their wonderful experience, especially people who know how to do marketing. So if you could just give us a little background, and we'll start picking things apart a little bit, but just, how did you get your feet wet in marketing? Where did you start finding your first successes and things like that? Where did it all begin for you?
I guess, if we really go back, I really understood at a young age that I was going to be a millionaire. It was something that I said out loud at a young age. Whatever spurred that on could be a number of things, but I remember being 12 saying it. And I remember when I was 16, I remember my brother speaking with somebody, and my brother spoke to this guy like they were best friends. And, he said, "What guy?" And I explained who he's speaking to. He said, "Never met that guy in my life before." And at that moment, my life changed, because I realized that my brother was mimicking my dad. And my dad could befriend anybody in a split second. And so was my brother. Yeah. And I realized that you can actually befriend anybody by being very friendly.
Yep.
And I started to study this, How to Win Friends. And if people haven't read How to Win Friends and Influence People, I highly recommend it. And I only read that book last month.
I'm 35 years old.
I know, my friend. My business partner said to me, "Alex, if you haven't read it, you must read it." And I read it. And it changed my life. At this point at 35, because it really brought back a lot of the things that I did naturally from then onwards. So, paying attention to other people is marketing. Marketing is nothing to do with you. It's what the market wants. And, I run a seminar in Miami a few years ago, and I had my good friend Rich Sheffrin, who they call the guru to the gurus, speak on stage there with me. And Rich asked the room, "What do you think the number one thing is in business?" And, everybody come up with these things. And Rich said, "No, it's the number one thing in business is to get into the mind of the perfect prospect."
Yep.
And if you know the problem of the marketplace better than they know the problem themselves, they automatically believe that you have the solution. They will actually source you for the solution.
Right.
So, when you ask where did I start, it's just been a process of my life going through, even outside of business, I was marketing, whatever I was doing in my life, I was always thinking about the other person And whether that was to be kind, because I'm a very kind, genuine person, but at the same time, I'm still a human being and we have our own selfish tendencies, right? So I still would do things that would influence people. And there's another great book there by Robert Cialdini, Influence.
Yeah, that's a classic for sure. So you did kick things off, though. You had like I'm going to take it back to the eBay business, and because I'm curious to know how you feel things have evolved over time since then. So, you know, what kind of marketing approaches? Now, obviously, there's some of these foundational things you mentioned, like you have to understand the mind of the person and what the market needs and all those types of things. So when you were doing the eBay business, same things apply, right? And if so, how do you discover those things? How do you start understanding what the market needs and coming up with ideas that you can, you know, share with them as solutions? You know, how do you do that stuff that you're talking about?
So the reality is, and what Adam's saying here is, when I was 24 years old, I started an import company from China.
Yeah.
And I started importing motorbikes from China into the United Kingdom. It was my very first business that I built. And I was selling them on eBay. And what Adam's asked me the question here is, you know, for me to answer the question of, you know, how do you do it? Well, the easiest way that I could say it would be start small, think big, and scale fast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what happens is people want to go out there and do the big hit. They want to go out there with the one bat and swing and have the home run. Well, it ain't the case. For an example, like I'm a little bit late for this interview because I live in San Diego now and it's raining outside. Well, these Californians can't drive, so it took me a 25-minute drive, took me an hour. Well, I left the gym and I go to the gym every morning to practice to box, and I'm not practicing to box for anything violent. In fact, everything about it is the whole regime is relax. Calm, relax, breathe. It's a very relaxing process. But I'm going in to do a boxing match. I'm going to have a fight. And this is exciting because this takes me out of my whole comfort zone of my whole life, right?
Yeah.
I've never been in the ring in my life before. So now I'm dedicated to something and it's very mental and it's really going to help me in business. But the point here is that I was thinking I can go in there and just, like, you know, one hit and win. Then I had an Olympian champion say to me, Alex, you've got to train to go to the last second. Like, even if you win in the first 10 seconds, you have to train to the end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, what everybody has to listen here is that life is not a marathon. Or this is how I look at it. And I'm not going to tell people how life is, because everybody's going to have their own beliefs. But here's how I look at it. Life is not a marathon. Life is a series of sprints.
Okay, that's interesting.
So you know, what tends to happen is, if you think about the day before vacation, you're going to get a lot of stuff done.
Yeah.
Because you have that compressed window. It's like a product launch, you know. The night before a product launch, you're going to get a lot done. In the gym, when I go to the gym, the first sessions, I'm, you know, warming up. Halfway through, I'm giving it. But at the end of the session, when I know that there's a finish line, I give it my all. Because I know that I can deplete my tank. And, you know, when you look at business like that, you want to look at these small windows. Okay, this is my next objective. This is my next thing that I'm going to attack. Don't be overwhelmed by the whole thing, because, you know, when you look at the big picture, it can be so scary. It's like, I'll put that off to tomorrow.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And you need to take action, very small bits of action, continuously. And that's what I mean by the little sprints.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And so I guess a lot of people, I actually just had a conversation with another entrepreneur who I've been talking to, and, you know, they run a editorial, like, publishing site and everything, but they're looking to build a product, right? And, you know, you have sold physical products and digital products and all kinds of things. And what they're struggling with is, well, I just don't know what product to sell. How do I get the right idea? We all know that you want to come up with an idea that's relevant to an audience that they need, and then you want to talk to them and kind of figure it out and make any adjustments based on feedback and stuff like that. So I guess, do you have a process for discovering, you know, well, here's the type of information or physical product I should be doing, because, okay, like, is there some kind of process that you go through to discover that?
Come back to that question, and I'm going to take one step back. When I launched my first information product, so I have a process called learn, apply, teach. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you learn something, apply it, and then you're able to go and teach it. And that's how I've continually grown my business from, you know, a motorbike business on eBay. Then I started teaching people how to run eBay businesses. And then I built a website and information pub, you know, I was selling a book. Yeah. And then I started teaching people how to set up a website and sell a book. And then people wanted me to coach them. So I built this big coaching business around that. And then my coaching business became one of the fastest growing private companies in North America. So then people wanted to find out how to build coaching businesses. So I coach people on how to build coaching businesses. and where my life continues, I don't know. But, you know, I'm learning and I'm applying and I will continue to teach. But back to the point, when I launched my first book, Easy Profit Auctions, it was like a book and a video course combined. When I launched that, I thought it'd be great. And, you know, and I took a long time and, you know, procrastinated and so forth. And when I launched it, I thought, hey, this is going to be it. And what I realized was the marketplace spoke. And the marketplace, some people loved it, but a lot of people hated it. And for 3 days, I was curled up on my mom's sofa, so upset and distraught that people were giving me negative feedback about my product. I thought it was over. I thought, I'm going back to a job and that's it. And then it struck me that their negative feedback, you know, for every negative, there's a positive. For all of this negative feedback, I can learn from it. And now I can better the product. So I emailed all of the customers. I said, hey, listen, thank you so much for all of your feedback. There's been some incredible feedback about the information, which there was bloody good information. But also, maybe the sales letter was a little bit explained the product better than it was. And I've received some other feedback. And what I'm going to do is over the next 21 days, I'm going to record videos explaining all of this stuff that may be missing. And I'm going to give it to you for free. And I'm going to really adapt this program. And people replied back saying, thank you so much for listening to us. You know, you're just like our hero. You're amazing. And everybody was so excited by this. And for 21 days, I kept producing content and giving it to them and giving it to them, building up all of this stuff that was missing that the marketplace told me that they needed.
Right.
It was missing pieces that they said, Alex, this doesn't fit together. You're doing it, but you've missed it in your training. And after 21 days, it was all there. On the 22nd day, when a new customer come in, they never knew anything different.
Right.
All the information was there.
Yeah, it's all there. Right.
And from that point onwards, I, you know, just kept selling it very, very confidently.
Sure.
Now, I could have really taken it very different. So what I'm saying is, you know, take feedback very seriously. And I've built my business to a multi-million dollar a year business by listening to the negative feedback.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge. And I was just in an interview yesterday. We were talking about, you know, do you want to be a nice guy? Is that important? Or, you know, sometimes you can get real defensive in those situations. And, you know, that would have taken you down a whole different path if you got defensive and, you know, kind of, you know, got angry about it versus listening and just trying to figure out how to make it work and adjusting your plan, basically.
I'll tell it this way. And this is, and we can continue from here, but I've really listened to nice feedback, really. It strokes my ego, sure. You know, if it's public, sure. I listen to negative feedback over anything. And if the negative feedback is wrong, then the best thing you can do is let your fans speak out for you. You know, don't really retaliate. If the guy's wrong, girl's wrong. You don't need to retaliate because you don't need a fight publicly over something like that. Your fans will do it for you. If the person is right and they say something negative about you, or me, I'll just say me. When somebody says something negative about me and they're right, I take the blame, I take ownership, and then I fix it.
Right.
And then I don't need to have that ever again.
Yeah.
And that's how I've built the business to how it is.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense. I mean, absolutely. And I guess I'm curious if you were, you know, pursuing something now you know, like, so Okay, so you spent a lot of time putting that product together. You thought it was going to be, you know, your one-hit wonder or whatever it might, whatever you want to call it. And then, you know, you got this feedback. You thought it was over, but decided to listen to the feedback, and you were able to turn things around. And it taught you, great, so feedback's very important. So now knowing that, would you still put in that same amount of time? Or do you think that there's a way to, you know, I guess, get that kind of feedback before you start really building the product out? You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I mean, really what you want to do is, you know, competitive, you know, you want to find out what's going on in the marketplace. So this is how business should be built, you know, around value, right?
Of course.
So long as you can deliver value to people and, you know, then great. So you start looking at all of the competition. What are they selling? How are they selling it? Who are they selling it to? And really just be observant of the marketplace. Consume, but look at everything as from the marketer's lens. And, you know, just see how you can put a slight twist on it. And normally your story is enough to be the twist.
Right, right.
Because, look, list building, right?
Yeah.
Let's just use list building. I learned about list building in 2004, and I started building my mailing list back then. In 2016, I was teaching people how to, or maybe 2015, I was teaching people how to build a mailing list. And
A
mailing.
Oh, mailing list. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was teaching people how to build a mailing list in 2015. So we're talking 11 years later. And I'm teaching the same basic principles. You know, it's only drive traffic to a opt-in form, right?
Yeah, right.
But there's what goes around that. I was selling thousands of copies, like getting thousands of customers a week to that product.
Right.
There was nothing new. The marketplace, the marketplace had changed. I put a slant on it. It was my own story. There were certain, you know, things. So really to go back to the initial question, care, you know, I swear, care and deliver value and be vulnerable and be willing to put your story inside of whatever information you're delivering.
Right.
And you will build a fan base.
Right, right. And do you find value in putting yourself out there, meaning like videos, kind of like showing, being the face of the brand, stuff like that? Do you find that helps build an audience to get people to connect with you? You know what I mean?
Yeah, people buy from people.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And, you know, for me, when I was in the game younger, I was a lot more prominent in the marketplace. You know, I say that I'm still very active in the marketplace, but I was a lot more vulnerable back then. It's more difficult now to be vulnerable because people are buying into my confidence.
Right, right. More experience, yeah.
Yeah, so it's very difficult to share vulnerability because you have to speak about past vulnerability, not current.
Yeah.
And as you're a trailblazer, there's always going to be uncertain times.
Right.
You know, I just, the conversation I had before you was, I was just prepping a friend of mine who's running a multi-million-dollar business. I was prepping him for some difficult times ahead of him. The next 12 months are going to be very difficult for him. He can't speak about it, you know, publicly, but he's about to blaze some trails and, you know, and it's going to be very, very tough for him. And I just prepared him mentally for everything that he's going to go through.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. And, you know, you're right. So, cause you always wonder, you know, a lot of people get into the business arena and the products, their information products are, you know, how to get more leads and how to do webinars. And there's just so much of it around that, you know, it's a very sameness kind of product. And you don't know who to listen to. A lot of it's junk or repetitive, or it doesn't really tell you that much. Then you read on a blog, you know, so are you, I guess it always makes me hesitate to do something similar like that versus trying, because, you know, like I surveyed my audience and they said, listen, we need to know more about how to build the email list, how to get our first 1,000 customers. And, you know, that's great. So, you know, we can build a product like that. But I always feel like in the back of my mind, like, am I just building another product that's been done 1,000 times before? But your point is you've got to have a certain perspective and angle on it that you thread your story into it, right? So it becomes your own way of doing it. Is that right?
There's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
However, everybody wants something new. So, and the marketplace replenishes so quickly, there's always somebody new coming into the marketplace. Let's just look at the diet industry. Every single day, there's new diet books coming out, right?
Yeah.
Why? Number one, because there's there's always somebody every day who's starting a diet. There's so much new blood coming into the marketplace. So people, again, you know, some people, and I mean, for every different age range, you know, some people are just taking their first diet. Some people are taking their 27th diet. Somebody just had a divorce and they realized that they're fat and they need a diet and, you know, blah, 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 blah. There's all of these different subsections and sub markets and sub niches. But the point is this, that if you do something, here's the premise, learn, apply, teach. If you learn something and you apply it and you get results, then why shouldn't you go out and teach it? And as long as you do it ethically and you actually care about, you know, who you're going to serve and you want to help them, at the end of the day, you know, if you look after your customers, they'll look after you. And if you add your story and be vulnerable with it, when I say be vulnerable, share it. Like, you know, I was going through a job. I was trudging through all of the crap and I was coming to the computer and I was stressed and I never thought I was going to make it. And, you know, one day, you know, I started doing this and the process took longer than expected. And, you know, I mean, just share the real story and then say, but look, here's what I've got. I've got the A to Z. I've literally figured this out now. And hey, I ain't some guru. You know, I'm not this big guru, but look, I did this, whatever this is. And I got these small results. Let me tell you something. Let me just go back a second. Yeah. Two quick stories. Number one, when I was up and coming, I always was very honest about who my mentors were. And I've had some of the best mentors in the industry. Well, actually, the best mentors in the industry throughout. I've always invested in mentors. I always questioned why people would buy into me than my mentors. And I asked them, and they said they could relate with me more than my mentors. Mm-hmm. So at the smaller level, you have more relatability than the guru. So this is an advantage, being the smaller guy or gal. Secondly, when I was generating, you know, hundreds of thousands a month, selling in my information, and I'd put this on my sales letters and they wouldn't convert that well. And we were like, wait a minute, we're making the most here. Like, you know, well, everybody wants to buy into us. Why aren't they buying? And what it was there was no relatability. So we went from showing people how really the reality of what was, I was making five figures a day.
Okay.
You know, tens of thousands of dollars a day. But then when we shared on the sales letters, you know, here's how I'm making $300 a day, the sales conversions just went straight through the roof.
Hmm.
Because it was more relatable. And what I noticed was the products that were selling how to make $20 a day were converting even higher.
Huh. Okay, yeah.
So you don't need to be the big swing in the marketplace.
Yeah, yeah.
Start small, think big, have a big vision, and then scale fast. But take people on the journey with you. And that's how I did it, you know?
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, I think, you know, there is no magic to it, right? And I that's funny that you mentioned, you know, the learn, apply, and teach. And I just did a video today that I put out on, you know, Facebook just to kind of recap our, you know, last year of business. And one of the first comments I said is I think that everybody is a teacher and everybody is a student and that we can share and learn from each other's experiences. So it's exactly what you're saying, you know, go through an experience, learn stuff and share it with people. And I think people appreciate that.
Yep.
So I guess, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, you know, what you think. What are you up to now these days? You're doing more coaching, or you're helping people start coaching businesses, right?
Yep.
And I guess throughout your whole career now, what has been what you might consider your greatest success and achievement that, you know, that you're excited about and you feel good about? Like, what have you accomplished that you stands out to you?
So it's a great question, you know, and I could answer on so many levels. But where I am in my life right now, I've achieved a lot. For who I am, to so everybody understands, you know, I'm a dyslexic school dropout from a bad neck of the woods in a big city, and you know, to get out, first of all, to even achieve, I didn't pick up a book for the first I don't know how many years of my life, you know, to even do it. So like, not having a job, not working for the man is the achievement. It's living life on my terms. But then what happened was I got carried away. I got carried away making money, you know, it was making money, more money, more money, more money, more money, and really got carried away with it. And then, you know, we built this great business and you know, I studied from Dan Sullivan, and he taught me two things, you know, to multiply, you need to simplify. So I really started to simplify a lot of the business. Also taught me about, you know, the self-managed company and really started building these teams. So I become very free. So then I was able to, you know, step away from the business and travel. You know, I've always traveled. So I really got carried away though with business and lifestyle, you know? So really, at this point in my life, I'm looking at minimalism. So I live in this big mansion right now in San Diego. I moved to San Diego to live in the best neighborhood, you know, in San Diego. And I live in this big mansion, me, my wife, and two kids. And we realized this doesn't make us happy. You know, yeah. It was everything I ever dreamed of. It was my whole vision of, like, you know, the mansion, buy the cars, everything. And I got here, I'm like, nah, man, this isn't what makes me happy. Mm. So finding minimalism is very interesting. You know, for me now, I've realized that, you know, saving money, I've been, you know, for many years, save that money, everybody, please. If anything, save money, save it for a rainy day. So yeah, just going back to that, you know, really just, you know, just not putting the pressure on me, and just, you know, not putting too much pressure on the lifestyle, and not, you know, not letting the ego, take hold. So there's some of the things now, you know, so not working for the man, but then on the whole other end of it, not getting too carried away, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a big thing. People are trying to do things more on their own, and they want to create a lifestyle versus get a job, you know? So your talking point of not working for the man, I mean, just the idea of not getting caught up in that cycle, but being on your own and having flexible hours and kind of getting out of whatever you put in, you know?
Yeah. And you know, so on that to me was everything. And I had this lifestyle business, but then I started beating myself up by having that lifestyle business, because I knew I could achieve more. And I knew I was like, I didn't want to look back on my life and say, oh my God, you missed out on the opportunity of a lifetime to build and, you know, create all of this success and save a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, I was riding a wave, and I was like, you don't want to just bum off, you know, and, you know, and just travel all the time and bum off when you could literally sit down and make something of yourself. So then I sat down and made something of myself, and then making multiple millions a year. But then you got this big business, this big company. And we got rid of the big company last year, and we moved to San Diego. And it was like, right, let's start again fresh, but build the company correctly this time around what we really, really, really want.
Right. Right.
But then I said, you know, the lifestyle, you know, I went to the very top, and I'm like, wait a minute, why did I do that for? So I'm just reevaluating, you know, that, because mansions and it isn't what I really desire. You know, it's more freedom is what I'm looking for. So again, everybody should have that big goal, but don't get lost in that process.
And I think that happens a lot too. It's easy, especially with the way marketing and advertising is today, and you know, just certain conditions that we're immersed in. It's easy to think that the primary objective or idea of success is, you know, these big material items, which they are nice to have. Like you said, it's not a bad thing, but it you don't want to get lost in the fact that that's not the complete picture, right? You don't want to sell yourself short. And there's a whole spectrum of human, you know, need, basically. And there's a lot more to it when it comes to success.
Okay. I've made it. I live in the mansion. It does not make me happy. Not one bit.
Right. Yeah, and so, I've heard that a lot too. Like Yannick Silver said the same thing. He had the money, he had all the stuff, and he was just like, but something was still missing for him, and there's just a gap, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's but I'm finding it, you know, and it's fine because as long as you're self aware of it, you know, and I'm building again now. I'm building the company right now. We're starting this company up, you know. It's doing great already, you know. My company right now is ranked the 903rd fastest growing private company in North America by Inc. Magazine. You know, we know how to scale these companies fast.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing, but I'm definitely not going to get caught in any traps this time by business or life.
Sure.
So I really hope this isn't about me. This is sharing a message with everybody who is aspiring to go places. You know, I think it's very important that you don't get caught in those, because also people beat themselves up. I study people a lot. People beat themselves up. They watch all of these things and they beat themselves up because they haven't got it yet. But I promise you that what I realize is just the freedom is everything. Not having to go to work for somebody.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's just everything. You know, I wake up in the morning, I get to walk around my house, I get to go to the gym. You know, this interview now, I'm free. I'm going to go and have breakfast with my wife, and I'm going to go and make some videos for my community. I've got a group on Facebook, and there's a few questions I'm going to make videos, and I'm going to write an email to my list, and I'm going to I got a few other things I'm going to do, but it's just I have the freedom to do what I want, and that's more important than anything. And obviously, that's all built. Yeah, it's all building towards a business.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. Well, listen, I want to be respectful of your time, so we'll wrap up here. But you know, lots of good insights, and I appreciate you sharing your tips from your experience. So, if people are interested in coaching or seeing what you got going on, how do they reach you?
I think what's important, just to really wrap this up before that, is to say two things, because we said this before the interview. I want to hit on these two points.
Sure.
Here's a quote of mine. Most people try and skip the start, so they never get started.
Yeah.
And it's all in the fundamentals. It's all in the niche research. Everybody hates the word research, so I love it, because that gives me such a competitive advantage over everybody who is not willing to do it. And same for you, you know, research, go and study. And yeah, research is like a minefield. You know, you can get lost and be like, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm procrastinating. I'm all over the place. Well, what's going on?
Yeah.
Take a step back and observe. Write down, what have you assessed? What have you learned? And even then, go before you go and research, what are you trying to find out? And write that down as an outcome for that session. Remember the little sprint. Okay, in this next 60, 90 minutes, I want to find out these things. And then go research and try and find those things. Come back out, pull yourself out of the research now, and then reassess and write down some notes about it. So, and then the other thing is, it's not what you do. It's not what you do. It's how you do it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, every day, every day when I finish work, I plan tomorrow today, every day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, you know, and then another thing, so I have, like, you know, certain routines that I work through. Something else for me was, as I was growing up, I wanted to get, once I quit working for the man, I never wanted an alarm clock. And I didn't have an alarm clock for 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized was I would procrastinate all day and then work through the night. So I was a night owl. And now what I do is, because that to me, I felt was freedom. I can do whatever I want through the day and then work through the night when everybody's quiet and I get my stuff done, and then I can sleep till I want to wake up and then just go about my day. And I wouldn't get out of bed till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and I'd doss around and, you know, life was good. I'd pop into the office and then, you know, hang out, do some luncheon and work, you know, see my family and go to work in the night. But now what I've realized is there's freedom within discipline.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's and structure brings freedom. So the more structured you can get things, the better. So, you know, I'm up 5:30 in the morning. which is crazy for me to think, because you know, I would never do that. I was normally up working at 5:30 in the morning, yeah. But I now get up at 5:30 in the morning, and then I go to drive to the gym, and I listen. I drive to the gym 30 minutes away. There's a gym closer. I drive to the further gym, and I use that 30 minutes to study in the car, and I study on double speed. So I listen to an audio tape on double speed. So I get 1 hour of studying going there, and I get 1 hour of studying on the way back. So I get to study 2 hours of material a day. 5 days a week, that's 10, you know, that's 10 hours. That's, you know, pretty much an audio book a week. I get to read 52 books a year based on that. And then from there, when I come into the office, there's structure. I know exactly what I'm going to do step by step, and I tick it off. You know, I just tick these things off, and I get through it, and I try and be proactive through the day, and I try not to allow the distractions to get to me, and I try not to look for distractions. And so I try and be proactive, and I don't be reactive to what comes in on my desk.
Yeah,
that's the freaking difficult one that I'm working on right now, and that's really part of my routine now. I'm trying to figure that out the best. I'm going to be I'll be a machine once I figure this out.
Yeah, and, well, I love that, and I love what you said about the research thing, because I think a lot of people get stuck. You know, it's easy when you sit in front of the computer to get distracted. You know, you got the entire internet in front of you. So I like the idea of writing down what your objective is right there, and just focus on that. I mean, it happens to me all the time where I'll start doing one thing, and then I start getting distracted with another thing, and you know, long before you know it, you just got a little bit of everything done versus like one thing really good.
Yeah, and it's so true. And you know, as you go through that day, you know, try and smash everything off, and you know, work on your most important tasks. And if I can give some book recommendations now, quickly, The Power of Less, The One Thing, Mind Hacking, Straight Line Leadership, Ready Fire Aim, and I think they're enough to really introduce people to, you know, what I've been speaking about today.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I appreciate that. I got a like nice long list of books. I love reading books.
Yes, sir.
So much information. So cool. Well, those are actually ones I don't know, so I'm excited to check them out.
Very cool. Well, it's been a pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, Alex, I appreciate your time, like I said, and all good stuff. So, where can people reach you now? You got marketing with you, any other sites or anything where people might connect with you?
Yeah, just listen, if you've been interested in what I share here, shoot me an email. Just, you know, put in the subject line, you know, listen to interview with Adam Force. Okay. Yeah. Put that in the subject line so I can see it, and I'll see it. My email is Alex, A-L-E-X, at marketingwithyou.com. That's Y-O-U. So it's marketing, marketing, with withyou.com. And I'd love to hear your feedback in what you think about what I shared, and any questions around it. I'd love to hear them, and I'll respond if you put that in the subject line as I requested there. And you know, my hope is that what I've shared has been helpful. I didn't know what I was being interviewed on, but I was willing to take the interview, and I really hope that it's been a good session.
Yeah, no, this is exactly what I was hoping to get from you. It's just really diving into those, you know, how do you do it kind of stuff, and how do you get started, and you know, there's a lot of mindset versus tactical kind of stuff, and you know, I think you covered off on it real well.
Good, thank you, my man.
Cool. All right. Well, hey, if you ever need anything, you know how to reach me, and we will stay in touch.
Yes. Thank you, Adam. Been a pleasure. Take care, brother.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode. Your next step is to join the Change Creator Revolution by downloading our interactive digital magazine app for premium content, exclusive interviews, and more ways to stay on top of your game. Available now on iTunes and Google Play, or visit changecreatormag.com. We'll see you next time, where money and meaning intersect, right here at the Change Creator Podcast.